Welcome to Marketing with Confidence. I'm your host, Marianne Ames. We're going to be talking all things digital and online marketing for business owners and marketing professionals. If you've been feeling overwhelmed by your digital marketing, be sure to listen along and you'll hear tips, interviews, and more that will give you the confidence to create marketing you love. Welcome back to another episode of Marketing with Confidence. I'm really excited today to be joined by Lyndall Harris from the podcast VA. Lyndall is my podcast go-to expert, helped me launch my podcast, and her team helps my episodes make it out every week as well. And today we're talking about launching a podcast to leverage your business. So welcome, Lyndall.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Marianne.
Such a pleasure. I'd love you to tell everybody about yourself and explain how you became so passionate about launching podcasts.
So I am a podcast consultant and the founder of Podcast VA. I have been working in this space for about 7 years now, and I'm really passionate about helping people get their message out to the world, because I know there's, you know, a lot of people might want to share their information or their message, but they find the technical side of it overwhelming and they don't know how to get it onto the various directories. So back in 2016, I created Podcast VA. I was helping somebody launch the first podcasting conference here in Australia. And I had a virtual assistant business that helped people implement their content marketing at that time. And I realized there was not a lot of podcast support or producers here in Australia, and certainly in the virtual assistant industry, there was no one who had niched their services into that. And so that's how Podcast VA was born. And we still help people launch their shows, help manage their shows on an ongoing basis. We offer training and programs and all sorts of different services just to help people make their podcasting journey easier. And also, I've got a great Facebook community because I just think podcasters love to collaborate. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. Oh, your podcast community is so great. I watch. I said, you know, I don't often have anything to ask because you guys look after everything for me, but I do watch in there and I can see that there's so, I mean, you obviously give out so much information, but there's so much connection as well. And I think there's, you know, people are always sort of saying they're about to launch and they want advice, or that, you know, how can they grow, or what, you know, hints and tips, or where to host and all those sorts of things. And it just, I think you've built a really lovely community there that's really supportive.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's really nice to see the interaction there, because I don't have to drive a lot of it. Yeah. It's, you know, people are helping each other and talking to each other and finding guests in there and all sorts of collaborations as well. So it's really good.
Awesome. I've got a few fast fire questions for you just to get deeper before we get started. So coffee or wine for you, Lyndall?
Definitely coffee. Every day.
And then reading for pleasure or development?
I love this question because, to be honest, I'd listened to so many podcasts over the last however many years that I stopped reading for a little while. So this year I've started reading for pleasure again, but I do read for personal development as well. So a little bit of both.
Yeah, amazing. I know, I did think about this question the other day and I thought, oh, I'm sort of alienating people that don't read it all. And there are so many mediums as well. Obviously, you can listen to audiobooks, but then there's podcasts. And I know, obviously, reading takes a lot of time as well. It's carving out that spare time or that quiet time to be able to read as well.
It's an interesting question, isn't it? It's so true. Mm. There's so many different ways to consume it now. But I do, like, what I've realized is I love a book, reading a book. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's an escapism. I think I got back into reading. And funnily enough, I guess a little bit like you, maybe coming back to books from being in the world of podcasting, just trying to have breaks from social media. Like, I find I would, you know, scroll on my phone was my default whenever I didn't have anything to do, which is, you know, those rare times. But now I'll work through a book. So it's kind of like, okay, go and sit for half an hour and read the book. Don't just sit there and get lost in social media. So I think it's, yeah, a nice way to have a break from the things you are passionate about in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about beach or bush?
Oh, I love both. I love the beach and I lived in the bush. I lived in the hinterland and the Sunshine Coast. I'm going to go with, I don't know if I can. I can't decide. I love them both.
fair enough. It's a pretty hard one. And Instagram or LinkedIn?
I love looking more on Instagram, but I'm really finding that I'm getting some traction on LinkedIn again now. So I had left LinkedIn for a little while and not been active on there, but finding LinkedIn has been really good for, you know, new connections and what have you for business. So personally, I love LinkedIn, Instagram, and then LinkedIn for professional.
I'm hearing a lot of people say they're going back to LinkedIn, you know, where they've kind of, I feel like I guess LinkedIn, again, it doesn't have the escapism, voyeurism sort of piece. You know, you sort of go over there to take an interest in other people and to sort of talk about maybe what you've got going on. But it's not, you know, there's not as many dimensions as Instagram. But I think a lot of people that I've spoken to are sort of talking about going back to LinkedIn and seeing that value professionally for sure.
If they've got a business, definitely if there's a business audience.
Absolutely. Awesome. All right. Well, let's talk podcasts. So obviously it seems now that everybody has a podcast or wants one. Do you see podcasts continuing to grow?
I do think they will continue to grow, probably not at the same rate that we've seen over the last few years. So interestingly, in 2023, it was a 5-year low of the number of new shows that were published. Yeah. So, and quite a dip from the previous years. Yeah. So there has been, obviously, when COVID hit, we saw a massive growth in podcasts. I think there was maybe less than 1 million podcasts before COVID. Wow. And now we're sitting at, in the podcast index, there's over 4.1 million podcasts. So there's a lot of podcasts around. Like, the good news with that is, though, less than 10% of those podcasts are currently active and have actually released an episode in the last 90 days. So whilst there are millions of podcasts there, a lot of them are inactive. You know, you will get your podcasts that are evergreen and that are still listened to, but obviously there's a lot of people that started a podcast, got pod fade and just didn't continue it, and it's still sitting there in the index. So, yeah, I think it will continue to grow, but I just don't think at the same rate as the last few years.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea. I mean, I had no idea it had grown that quick so fast, but then to think that there's so many that are dormant as well. And, you know, I know for myself, when I started the podcast, I kind of started with that thought that if I'm going to do this, I just have to keep going, you know, no matter what, until I retire, or until that I have nothing left to say, but, you know, that I wasn't going to be flash in the pan about it. Mm-hmm. And I think when I look at even people that I love to listen to, you know, the back catalog is so big. And I think that's appealing as well, when you stumble across a good podcast. And there's it's kind of like finding a TV show with lots of seasons.
Yes, yeah. You get excited about how long you can listen to it for.
Yeah, exactly.
When Anchor was around, it's now Spotify for podcasters, but having that free hosting platform as well, I think a lot of people got a microphone, plugged it in, and might have been sitting having a chat with friends or decided that they would start one. And because it was such a low barrier to entry and it was so easy, I think that also, you know, didn't help with the number of podcasts that started and didn't continue.
Yeah. So I guess, what do you think makes a great podcast?
I love this question, because I think it's probably, it could be like a personal opinion for some of these. And I predominantly work with and listen to business podcasts.
Yeah.
So I think if I love listening to a podcast that's educational and informs people, you know, of someone's expertise, and is also got some entertainment wrapped in there. So whether that's storytelling, or, you know, the host is really interesting to listen to, and someone who's engaging and thinking about, you know, what do their audience want. So I do think a good host considers their audience and plans and has a strategy about what their audience want to hear, and asks them so that they're providing them the content that they want to hear.
Yeah.
What else is there? I think having really planned and structured episodes, so that you're considering your audience's time and you're not just adding the whole conversation in. You know, we had a conversation before we hit record, but you know, if you have that within the conversation when you're actually recording and it's not relevant, then edit it out. You've really got to be mindful of your listeners' time, because they've got millions of other shows that they can go and listen to. So, yeah, being mindful of that, having good structured episodes, and the one that you'll hear all the time is good quality audio. I think you can get microphones now for under $100. You can get software for free. But having that really good audio quality is really important, because people will just tune out and go to a different podcast and listen to that.
Yeah, which is really interesting as well. Part of our pre-chat today, you were sharing some other audio settings that I hadn't sort of come across before. And I think my approach has been, you know, like good enough. But I think you've got a point though. You do obviously sometimes when people interview and you're listening to that podcast and the person they're interviewing is on such poor quality audio, it is quite jarring. Like it is disengaging in a way, I guess, because you don't have that polish. And it's funny, I guess, from a perception point of view, with that polish probably becomes authority. You know, it's like when you're listening to the radio, like that polished content that's coming through, you then attribute authority to it. You know, the news reporter always enunciates perfectly. They always, you know, of the whole maybe radio program, they're the most professional because it's the most authoritative content. And I wonder if that also flows through to podcasting as well, you know, and that's where you kind of those quality markers signal to us that this is legitimate and quality, like all those sort of trust and credibility factors as well.
And that you've taken the time to really think about it. And it's if it's part of your marketing, you're going to invest. Even the editing can make a difference you might have a guest who doesn't have a microphone because they're not a podcaster. Yeah. And people are a little more forgiving if the guest hasn't got as good a quality as the host, for example. Yeah. But even in the editing, you know, making sure that you level the volumes of the guest and the host, and making sure that you get podcasts, you level it with your intro and outro and you get them to the right volume for podcast players. Because for me, there's nothing worse than trying to listen to something I really want to listen to, and then the two people talking are at really different levels of volume, and you can't quite pick up what someone's saying. So even when it comes to the equipment and software, there's also then the post-production and making sure you take the time to get those quality, the technical steps of your editing to get the best quality as well. And, you know, sometimes you don't have to have the best microphone, but you need to have clear audio. That is the biggest thing. And you're right. It is about, you know, get started and invest in something that will give you good quality audio. It doesn't need to be the best, but it does need to be easy to listen to.
Yeah.
And you can start and you can refine it along the way with your equipment. That's absolutely fine. But when you're using the microphone on your laptop or something like that, that's not good, that's when you'll start to lose listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you also touched on the fact that, you know, you like to listen to a lot of educational podcasts as well. And I think especially over the last few years, seeing so many different formats of podcasts. And I think there's so much opportunity for different types of content. I mean, you've got all your people that are obsessed with their true crime podcasts and their documentaries. And then, you know, there's all your kind of gossip or sort of, it's like the old Cosmo Mag, you know, like you've got all your kind of that sort of lifestyle content as well. And I think I think probably when you're starting a podcast, it's good to listen to lots of different formats as well to try understand. And it's so funny because obviously podcast strategy is a marketing strategy, right? And so you've touched on it, like the ideal client or the audience. Like I think getting really clear on who you're going to be talking to, getting the feel of how they used to be talked to, how they want to be spoken to, and really like working with that in mind as well.
Absolutely. And listen to what you like. So when you do listen to that cross-section of podcasts, what do you like? What do you think works well? How can you incorporate that into yours?
Yeah, amazing. So I guess, as we've said, like the growth of podcasts, even though it's slowed down, you know, I think it's undeniable. And more and more, I know with clients, like more and more clients I speak to, I now, you know, discuss it as a strategy. You know, can you go on other people's podcasts? Is there scope for you to have a podcast? Because as a personal brand, as a voice of authority, there's a real place for it. So what are your top tips for business owners that want to leverage that expertise into a podcast?
Yeah, I would say that it's still a good time to launch a podcast. Certainly don't look around and think, oh, there's already, you know, 20,000 podcasts about marketing out there, or there's already 50,000 podcasts about podcasting. You know, go, because people want to hear your voice. And so my biggest tip is, if you want to do a podcast and it fits within your marketing strategy, then really sit down and strategize it. Start with the strategy and the planning, because if you just think, okay, yeah, podcast is going to be great and I'm just going to plug a microphone in and I'm going to talk away and it's going to be fine, that's when people start to get pod fade.
Yeah.
And it's also when you can probably hear the audience will pick up that maybe it's not as planned as some others. So certainly don't be put off by numbers, because if you're not thinking about the numbers, which a lot of people do, I see it in my group all the time where people are focused on the download numbers. But really, if you are happy to go and speak to a room of 20 or 50 people every week, then 20 and 50 downloads for an episode is great numbers. But, you know, the business podcasters often don't get hundreds and thousands of podcast downloads. And so don't compare your podcast, certainly with an entertainment style podcast where they do have a different audience.
Yeah.
Strategizing, working out what's your objective. Why are you actually going to do the podcast? What are you going to share? What's the information that you want to share with the world? Are your target audience listening? How are you going to get in front of them? Then planning out your episodes. Are you going to go with a format that is solo? Are you going to do interviews? Are you going to do a combination of both? Once you've really sat down and done that strategy piece, that's when you can then think about, what equipment and software do I use? So don't just jump straight into the, I'm going to do it. Over the years, there hasn't been too many, I guess, but I've spoken to people that are like, podcasting's like such a big thing now, I'm going to do a podcast. But then when you ask them, what about, they don't really sort of have an objective and have that plan behind them. So that's really important. Thinking about your branding. And so when you do your cover art, when you are looking at the colors that you're using and your font, if this is part of your business, an extension of your business, then use that branding and bring it across so that it's fluid. If someone, they're not looking at it thinking, oh, is this part of their business? The music that you choose as well for your intro and outro, make sure that matches your brand. Make sure it matches what the audience would expect. You know, over the years, again, I've heard some music choices that have been very strange for the type of podcast. And you might think, you know, it's some really heavy, rocky music that comes into something that's really not that kind of topic. And to me, that's like, okay, that's obviously what the host loves to listen to, which is fine, but it did not match the podcast message. So thinking about that branding piece and then, you know, putting it onto your website, if it's part of a business podcast, that's a big one as well, so that you're driving the traffic back to your podcast. Another tip would be invest in equipment, which we have spoken about. I don't think you need to spend a lot of money to start a podcast, and I certainly don't usually say to people, go and spend $500 or $1,000 on equipment. If you don't have much of a budget, then go and buy a simple microphone that plugs into your USB. It's plug and play. You can get them for about $100 starting microphones, and that will make a difference to the audio quality. And you can get free software. Or, you know, depending on your budget, then you can work out different software or different microphones. But invest in equipment to get that good quality audio and just start. So get your microphone, plug it in. If you're nervous, if you're overwhelmed, if you're feeling you've got imposter syndrome, a lot of people feel like that when they start, or they don't like the sound of their own voice. I hear that one all the time, which is a really interesting concept, because we hear our voice differently to anyone, how anyone hears our voice. And so when we hear it back, it's like, I don't sound like that. I don't like the sound of my voice. It's really interesting. And it's like, well, you can't change it anyway. So just don't worry. Like, you've just got to kind of push through that imposter syndrome and those kind of fears and just start. And don't try and make it perfect to start. Get all your ducks in a row and just start and refine it along the way. Because if you wait to make it all perfect and feel great about it and 100% confident, you just let the little voice in your head talk you out of it. So it really is a case of just start the number of podcasters you speak to that say, oh, God, do not go back and listen to my first few episodes or even the first season or whatever because I sounded really nervous or I sounded really different. Yeah, I think just plug your microphone in, get used to talking and just start and refine it along the way and really engage with your audience, wherever that is, whether it's in a community, whether it's through your social media, through email marketing, through asking them to send in recorded voice questions so that you can add that into your solo shows and make it an Ask Me podcast episode. There's lots of little different things that you can do like that. Really, I think there's so many tips I could give here, but I think probably they're the main ones. But audience engagement is a big one too. So I think that's a good one to think about. I would also say here, launching now is very different to when someone launched, say, pre-COVID, because it was a lot quieter back then in the podcasting space. And so you need to really be thinking about, are you launching a podcast to find an audience on the directories? Because that is very difficult. That is, it's not impossible by any stretch, but it is a much different objective than using your podcast as your marketing hub, for example, and or your main piece of content and then repurposing that for all of your marketing. So maybe instead of thinking, oh, I'm adding podcasting to my marketing and it's going to be such a big chore, then you can think about the podcast being your main piece of content. And then how can you repurpose that? Can you repurpose it for your social media? Can you repurpose it into a blog? Do you get the transcript for that? There's all these other different pieces that you can pull from that podcast episode. So really thinking about using it as your marketing instead of necessarily finding a big audience. And that's when you'll start to see how it can work for you rather than thinking, how am I going to break through and sit in the top 10 in marketing or management, where it's a very difficult thing to sort of sit in the charts like that and find that new audience. But it is a great repurposing tool. Like there's just so much can come from a podcast. It's, you know, you've got your brand awareness, you build your authority, being able to reach out and have conversations with people that you can invite on your show. Like it's a different way of building a relationship when you can sit and talk to somebody for half an hour to an hour rather than sending them a random message through Instagram or LinkedIn to try and connect that way. So just thinking about it in different ways and how you can use that as part of your marketing it can be really effective.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're all amazing tips. And I think, you know, what you're saying around, are you going to find an audience or are you going to use it as another marketing tool belt, I think is, you know, so important as well, because I don't think you publish it and all of a sudden, you know, an audience is magnetized to you because there is a lot of noise and there is a lot of content. But I do think there's so many ways to leverage it, you know, once you have it up and running and again, off your own expertise and authority. And I have to say, though, I don't like the sound of my voice. Whenever I hear, sometimes my kids will put the podcast on and I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Turn that off. Or if at work, one of the teams working on something and they pull up a video and I'm speaking, I literally am startled. I'm like,
I am too. It's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But it is one of those things, is that unless you want to spend the time editing to change it through equalization, you can't change it. And it's what other people, it's how they hear you anyway. So
Exactly. But we are who we are, you know, but when you hear it, it is so jarring. And I think coming back to content as well, I know, you know, I also find I can leverage so many of the conversations that I have with clients. You know, I speak to so many potential clients and current clients each week. And now what I find I do is, you know, I have an amazing conversation about something. Maybe it's in a strategy session or maybe it's in a discovery call. And then I think, oh my gosh, I have to do a podcast episode on that. You know, it's also all those tiny bits of knowledge that you have that you don't realize other people don't know, or they're not natural instincts for the people that aren't in the area that you're in. And so I found it really great for that as well, kind of being able to capture expertise on the go almost. You know, I often write down a little note and then later in the week I'm like, right, I'm going to do an episode on that because that was such a good conversation. You have these great conversations with people and you share this knowledge and you see how helpful it is for them. And then you think exactly what you said. If you can record that in a podcast and now 20 people can see it, you know, or listen to it, that's an opportunity you didn't have before, you know. So you're taking that one-to-one knowledge, and you're even if it doesn't matter that it's not 1,000. And for a lot of us, it also comes back to, you know, if our podcast or if, you know, we went out to 1,000 people and they were all really interested, we probably couldn't service them.
Yeah.
So at our size of businesses, you know, if we had 10 additional leads a week, we'd probably all be really happy. So, you know, it's that as well. It's, I think, it's like social media as well. It's all the vanity metrics. Sometimes we want those numbers because to validate ourselves or for other people to validate us as well. But I think is, you know, exactly what you said, the numbers are more, you know, think of that opportunity. Would you have had that opportunity otherwise to, you know, maybe reach people overseas, to reach, you know, new people here? So
that's right. I love what you just said, because when we were talking before we hit record, I've written down two things to go and share with people that I didn't think of. Yeah, you don't realize what you know that other people don't know. And it's just the smallest thing sometimes that can help other people. And the other thing I like about it, and I use it in ways where if somebody asks me a question, especially via email, someone might say to me, what's an ID3 tag? This is one I was asked the other day. And I sometimes go to explain it. And now I just say, hey, I've got this 5-minute podcast episode that explains what that is. I send them the link. And it just saves me having to answer it in a way. Like, some things are easy to answer, obviously, but ID3 tags, people are like, what are those things? So, you know, little things like that, you can send them the podcast. If you see a question in a group and you're not being overly promotional and spammy, you might say, hey, I've got a podcast episode that talks about that you might find useful. And weaving it into your lead magnet follow-up. So, you know, if someone downloads your checklist in your emails that follow that, in those sequences, put some podcast interviews that might be relevant for them to listen to, because people are, we all know, they're all looking at us before they come and buy a product or a service, some industries more so than others. But if someone's going to come and work with you and you've got a podcast, then they're listening to it before they purchase. They're going to listen and hear your expertise and hear what you have to say. So if you've got a podcast and they're looking at somebody who doesn't have a podcast, then that might just be the thing that tips them over, because you've been able to build that relationship before you even really know them.
Yeah, and also to get like a slice of you, you know, because the you experience via email is so different to the you experience of the call. And then, you know, and again, the you experience when you're sharing expertise. So it kind of, it adds that third dimension, or it adds another, you know, touch point or another sense experience of you as well. They're having a great email chat with you, or even a lead gen sort of nurture series of emails. It can be very one dimensional. Then all of a sudden there's something they can go and watch or something they can go and listen to. Gives them another way to experience you and see if there's alignment and, you know, if they want to do business.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they've just got to tune into a few episodes and they'll get that personal opinion. Yeah. I mean, hopefully it's a good one, but they're going to get to know, you know, they can listen to you and have that little bit of a stalk, if you like. You know, they can even be listening to episodes that are relevant for the service that they're inquiring about or what they're looking for. So video does work for that as well, obviously. But a lot of people, you don't necessarily need to have the video and the audio. If people want to have just the audio podcast, that's still working really well. You know, I actually love speaking to people that laugh and say, I don't want to do the video in that. I don't want to put my makeup on or do my hair or be dressed. And the audio works perfectly well for me. And it's like, great. And if that's what your audience is listening to, then just do the audio. You don't need to do the video element of it as well.
Yeah, which is exactly right. And I think, again, it just all comes back to who you're targeting and what they want.
Yep. And what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, this has been so fantastic, Linda. You've been so generous with your tips and ideas. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Where can people connect and listen to you and all those things?
Well, I'm a little bit quiet on socials sometimes, but certainly I've got the Facebook community. It's called the Australian Podcasters Collaborative. So if you're on Facebook and you're a podcaster or you're interested in launching a podcast, then come on into that community there. Otherwise, even just through my website, reaching out through any of the socials or my website, and I will get back to you.
Awesome. And I'll put all that in the show notes as well. So thank you again, Linda, and thanks for everyone for listening along.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to another episode. If you don't want to miss one, make sure you subscribe to the show in your podcast app. And if you love it, be sure to share it with friends and colleagues who you think could benefit from increasing their digital marketing confidence. Want more? Head to marianneamies.com to find out how you can work with me directly, to reach out to have me speak at your event, or to grab yourself some free resources.